What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We are expected to hear from Andy Reid momentarily. The only place to hear from him is right here, 96.5 The Fan. Of course, that blocked field goal, the story out of this one.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His left, so one of those misses, a 60-yarder to end the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Fraboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal.
Mitch Holthus, of course, on the call.
That's Danan Hughes laughing in the background.
Yeah, just a little chuckle from Danan. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Did you see him lighting up a cigar after the game,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, he was in the parking lot chilling by his car because, look, as you guys know, it takes a little while to get out of that parking lot. You might as well just sit back, relax, and enjoy that one.
Maybe we can talk about it later in the week. I did pull it up. Over on DraftKings, Andy Reid is currently listed as the favorite to win NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I'd rather bet on a perfect season because he's not winning it at a less 15 win, 16 win, 17 win type of season.
He's down to 4-1. Mike Tomlin and Kevin O'Connell and Jim Harbaugh and Dan Quinn all tied at plus 450.
Yeah, and again, he's the best coach in the NFL, but that's not how this award works.
No, not typically. Next up on Watch Trending, Kansas gets the win over Iowa State over the weekend. MU gets the win over Oklahoma. I would say the win over MU in a little bit of dramatic fashion, as it just a comedy of errors to the Benny Hill music eventually closed that thing out. Look, I spent a huge chunk of that game wondering how Pine even got a Division I scholarship to, like, play.
Damn.
Dude!
Damn.
He's bad!
Damn. I think you can be honest and say that he was not good when he played.
But he wasn't good, but he showed up when he needed to.
It's
like Cody saying he shouldn't have a scholarship.
But they got the win against OU, who's having a miserable first year in the SEC. Does that bring you joy? Do you like watching a team like Oklahoma ditch the Big 12 and then be like, oh, God, this stinks over here? Because they have had a terrible year.
They have.
Great win by Missouri. Much needed if they wanted any chance at, like, doing something, like, miraculous, like getting the playoff, which I still think is the longest of long shots.
Yeah.
But a much no chance if you lose to Oklahoma.
They have South Carolina coming up.
That's a tough one.
They have South Carolina coming up. Next up on What's Trending, the Bengals are hosting Xavien Howard on a visit. He is a veteran corner. We brought him up last week when some of you were texting in, and I told you, yeah, I don't think they're going to go that route. Just Google what's been going on this offseason. I'll say the same thing. Just Google what Xavien Howard's been accused of. No, it's just an accusation, but it's not good stuff at all. So you can take a look at that. But the Bengals are desperate, obviously. Also, Leonard Fournette, possible practice squad addition. They already traded for Khalil Herbert last week to go with Chase Brown with the Zach Moss injury. But there you go.
Speaking of people with legal trouble and probably terrible people, Juan DeFranco was arrested today in the Dominican Republic. No, not for the alleged abuse of a minor, which he is currently awaiting trial for in the Dominican Republic. This time for an incident where guns were drawn. He was released on bail after getting out of that. So just another problem for what was formerly thought of as a future phenom, Wander Franco, down there in the Dominican Republic.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, also today, Veterans Day. We appreciate all of you that are currently serving our country and obviously those that have served in the past as well. And we're obviously fortunate enough to just be able to out here just talking sports on the radio and with our freedom that is provided from you guys sacrificing your life. So we appreciate all the vets out there today. We are awaiting Andy Reid. He haven't missed anything. He's not talking yet. So as soon as he's at the podium, we'll go right out there and, of course, bring you that.
It's the only place you can hear it, obviously, right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Well, since people are asking and we're waiting, people are like, hey, wait, hold on. I know that he played the other call. Can we hear the other ones? Like, can we get the Spanish call of the blocked field goal?
Se viene el bateador Lutz de parte de los Broncos, el número tres.
se acomoda hacia adelante, la patada, ¡eh! ¡Bloqueo! ¡El bloqueo, Hanna! ¡Se bloquea esta jugada! ¡Y Kansas City! ¡Kansas City se lleva la victoria del día de hoy! ¡Hay bloqueo! ¡Los Broncos la fallan! ¡Los Broncos no pueden hacerla! ¡Y los Kansas City Chiefs se llevan la victoria! ¡Cuando esperábamos un gol de campo! ¡Kansas City y tapa este ovoide! ¡Y se llevan la victoria por 2 puntos! ¡Kansas City se mantiene invicto en la temporada 2024, Hanna!
That was on Tico Sports. Awesome.
That's
call.
A great call.
Tico Sports, by the way, their broadcasts are on the Odyssey app as well if you're looking for the Spanish call.
Maybe. I like that excitement. That's a lot of fun. Blackado! He's so excited about it. I very much enjoy that call. Is that your favorite call? Mitch's was great. Spanish call was great. Have we played the Kevin Harlan one?
We did. I mean, look, they all honestly, in each in their own right, were
the Broncos
pretty darn good.
One. How about that one?
Yeah, the Broncos
we're not living
one.
In someone's sadness.
I might actually enjoy that one because the silence in the call from Broncos radio as the kick is happening.
Will Lutz backs up, takes 2 steps to the side, says he's ready. An attempt of 35 yards for the win. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is blocked. I don't even know what to say. I really am at a loss for words. 35-yard field goal blocked with 1 second to go, and Kansas City is going to get out of here with a 16-14 win over the Broncos.
He's so sad.
Heart's broken in Broncos country, no doubt. Broncos had it all set up for a chip shot field goal.
That's Broncos radio, and yes, that is me laughing, taking joy in Broncos pain. Absolutely.
Just this.
Blocked.
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 You can almost hear the sigh before, like, blocked. Like, I can't believe I got to go to work the rest of the day. You know, it is like you're just having a bad day, and you got to go to, like, because, you know, we show up to work today. Everyone's in a good mood, right?
Could have been a completely different story
today. Could have been a completely different energy this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we get blocked! It's blocked! And they got to deal with blocked.
Mm-hmm. I like this better. I like that better. I definitely like the enthusiasm. Yeah.
I will say, shout out to all the fans for that moment, because you can hear, particularly like on Mitch's call when you played it back, there's obviously like some stirring, some noise, but as soon as the block happens, you can just hear like the decibel
level building
rise.
The building was
about that too.
Nuts.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, the building was nuts. I was telling you guys though that there were plenty of people that were leaving the seating area, heading to the concourse and walking out. I thought the game was over. So some of them heard it clearly in the concourse and then probably looked back to see what the heck had happened, or they were already walking out of the stadium.
That's got
to
be the worst.
But the atmosphere for a regular season game. For one particular play, that's about as loud as you'll hear. We've obviously heard Arrowhead in a playoff game and Mahomes' run against the Titans and ultimately, you know, game-winning kick from Butker to send him to the Super Bowl. I'm talking about for a regular season game, though, in a play in which your offense is also not on the field and it wasn't like a walk-off, you know, touchdown pass, that's as loud as I've heard it. It really is. For that circumstance, I don't think I've heard it louder.
In a lot of ways, I think it's because of the deafening silence before it. A lot of times when the defense is on the, you know, it's louder, but everyone's like, we had all conceded the make. Did you?
Sure,
concede?
It's a chip shot field
probably
goal.
I was standing up in the house like, all right.
Oh, Cody, I was packing my laptop up.
I'm
going to
do some other stuff. The game was still on. You were packing your laptop up.
I was getting my laptop ready. Other media members were getting ready to...
I'm good.
Get ready to stand up and head down to the locker room. Yeah, everybody thought it was over.
I might have jinxed things in favor of the Chiefs.
Of course you did.
Because I figured I was like, because Mac, notorious Bo Nix hater, I was like, man.
More than me?
Mac hates Bo Nix. Shout out to Mac. We're going to talk about it on After Hours tomorrow night.
There you go.
I tweeted at Bob and Dusty. I said, hey guys, you're going to have to console Mac a little bit regarding Bo Nix. I was like, should I send this? And I was like, yeah, it's a 35-yard field goal. I'm going to send it. Sent it. Field goal blocked. I did not delete the tweet. I was like, damn.
Okay. People find that after?
Oh, yes.
I mean, 35 yards. I mean, I sent out the photo of my daughter just holding up a sign that said F word on it, which I told you happened in a board game we were playing when she described that as her favorite bad word, even though I've never heard her say it. So I don't know how it could be your favorite.
Well, we played you. I mean, we had a bleep it, but we played you as we're waiting. Andy Reid, by the way, you haven't missed anything. They're just running a little bit late today so far. The only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on 96.5 The Fan. But thinking of just yelling and cursing, this was a very popular streamer on YouTube. I think he's like 600,000 followers, and he was watching the Broncos game, and he also had his stream up at the same time. And I believe his name is Brandon Perna. And listen to him lose it as this was going down.
Lutz warming up on the sideline. Oh, my God, we're going to upset him. Assuming we can make this kick. Nothing is guaranteed. Please. Oh, God, please. Will Lutz, do not miss this kick. Will Lutz. Oh, I don't even know if I can watch it, guys. Come on, Will. 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 No! 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 They blocked it! They blocked it! Kick! Are you kidding me? Oh, what the f***? Oh, my God, no! Oh, f***. I give up. I give up on this sport. What the f***? A blocked 35-yard field goal! Oh, my God, I am done with football.
Such a funny way to end it.
What's the last Chiefs game that made you feel that way? Ooh. Not just like it was a lot. Like the Bucks Super Bowl didn't play
it's
like
a
that.
Super Bowl, you're not going to have
it's
that
gotta
reaction.
It's got to be like Jamal Charles fumbling in 2015 against the Broncos or something. Where you're just like, are you kidding me?
I think
this
it was,
is how you're losing?
For me, I think it was similar. Fumble. I was in Baltimore. I was the Sunday night game. I was in Baltimore and Clyde had the
Clyde
fumble. That's where, because I mean, I thought we had won the game at that point. So that's probably the last time. You're right. Because if you lose in the Super Bowl, you're bummed out. But you're not probably going into a rage of cursing like that if you lose in the Super Bowl, I don't think.
Yeah. I think it's just different, too, because like that Super Bowl was a blowout.
It's also a block kick, yeah. I mean, yeah, if the Chiefs would have lost, you know, to the 49ers on a block field goal or something, that's what makes it that much worse. But yeah.
It was 35 yards, too. It wasn't like it was a 50 yard. It was like almost a chip shot.
Someone's a D Ford offsides. Yeah, but we all knew it was over at that point, but I don't... That one, I think, even in the aftermath was more, you know, I don't know if I was cursing as much as like, oh, we're just never getting back here. Because at that point, we didn't know that Mahomes was going to go on this run. I thought that was our one chance, right? Like in most of our lifetimes, we hadn't seen the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So, and depending on your age. And so when D Ford was offside, you thought, oh, well, that was our chance. Guess it's not. That was a good answer. That was my reaction. But yeah, I hear you.
Somebody said the Colts comeback.
The Andrew Luck play when he catches, you know, like that, where you're just like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm never watching football again.
That's actually like, solid.
That feeling. Like, this is also why I feel like if you're a fan of the NFL and you're like tired of the Chiefs, can you for like a half a second remember all their pain? Like Chiefs fans had to like earn it a little bit, man. It was a long time.
You're saying they were due to get Patrick Mahomes eventually. They were due.
True, they didn't go to a Super Bowl for 50 years.
Yeah.
They took one singular first-round quarterback in 30 years, and he was a flameout amongst 72 Hall of Famers in the same draft. They've suffered some ill-timed fate, even years in which they had maybe. Like the year they lost to the Broncos in the postseason in the mid-90s, those were the two best teams in the NFL, and the entire league knew it. Like, they were the two best team, and it came down to the bitter damn end.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people mentioning Lynn Elliott, of course, right? I mean, of course. Yeah, that's
I just said the last game. Not any game.
Yeah, the last time.
The most recent game when you felt like Perna there, where you're just like, are you kidding me? Is this my life? I can't even deal with this. Like, I hope I quit this stupid sport. Because that's the difference between it or the other ones or anything else in between.
Oh!
Ha, 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 ha.
He sounded like Steve, he sounded like Steve Carell or whatever in like from in when he's getting waxed in 40-year-old virgin. He's like, ah, Kelly Clarkson, like that. That's he sounds like identical to that.
Oh my God!
If I were to play the two side by side, I think you guys would.
You're just waiting for that. No, no, please, no.
Yeah. Hold my hand, Cal. Yeah. Hold my damn hand, Cal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just looking for his buddy in the corner.
Yeah, we're still waiting for Andy Reid. So while we're waiting for that, let's talk a little bit more though about this offensive line, because I think that if there's one thing out of this game that actually has some major implications that is concerning on the negative side, it's that, right? I mean, we all saw it. We all watched yesterday. We all heard it here on 96.5 The Fan. Wanye Morris is in there. He gets hurt, gets rolled up on, leaves the game, needed help to get to the locker room. Felt like he was for sure done for the day. Kingsley Suamataia comes in, and it was about as bad of offensive left tackle play that you'll see in the NFL at this level.
It was really bad.
It was horrendous. He had no chance. He had no chance.
He was getting beat on every snap.
For all the talk about his athleticism coming out of the draft, I'm not saying that that's not true, but the first step is just not there. He's getting beat every single time. They tried to chip. It didn't matter. Going to get Mahomes hurt, honestly. So then Wanye in the second half comes back out of the locker room, still in uniform. They're clearly taping up his ankle again or whatever. Even though there was a knee injury, but I'm just putting fresh tape on, I think. And he comes back in on the final drive, and we saw the difference immediately. And so now the biggest concern for this football team is left tackle. And I'm fine if Wanye is healthy. Fine with him being left tackle. We know it's not top 10 left tackle player or anything like that, but they can win with that. They've won 9 games with that. They can win with that. That's not what's going to stop them. What will stop them, though, Cody, is if Wanye Morris is hurt and Kingsley has to play. He cannot play at this level. Right now, I'm not saying that he can't continue to develop.
He can't be the backup.
But in this season, his rookie year, he cannot play left tackle. For a team going for a three-peat, I'll argue he can't play left tackle for any team currently as he is performing. And so that's where Donovan Smith, it's a name I didn't think they needed to bring him in the offseason. Kingsley won the job in camp. I don't know how, but he did. Donovan Smith needs to be on the phone with Brett Veach. Brett Veach needs to dial his agent up and find out, are you willing to come over here and basically be a backup? And I know some of you are saying, why a backup? Because he's been on his ass for 4 months. Yeah. That's why.
Wanye's done fine.
Yeah, and later on in the year, if the play suffers, then you can make an adjustment there. Or if Wanye gets hurt again, at least I know Donovan Smith is capable. Kingsley right now is not capable of playing that position.
I don't know who's available on the street other than Donovan Smith and David Bakhtiari. I'm sure there's some other. But if you have played more than 30 games at left tackle in this league, you would be a safer backup right now than Kingsley. Development is important, right? Like, I just saw the clip from Matt Eberflew, and God knows why he had to be asked this question, that said Caleb Williams will remain our starter.
No kidding.
I mean,
no bleep.
Well, yeah. Was there? I'm sorry. Was that up for discussion?
The only thing up for debate is when are they firing you, if they're letting you stay the rest of the year or not.
So, obviously, right? But this goes back to the, like, it's a developmental league. And you and I both know that offensive line play is down. There are less good quality tackles in the NFL than there have ever been. And a lot of people attribute that to what has taken place in the college game and the emphasis on the college game and the ways in which that's changed that's made these guys less ready to start right away at the NFL level. And we also know that if you want an immediate starter at left tackle in the NFL, you better damn well be picking in the top 15, most likely, if you want to get that. But Kingsley can't play another snap at left tackle this year. I'm sorry. I don't, like, we all watched that game, right? And I know that's one of the better sack teams in the NFL. They got some good young pass rushers. He was not losing sometimes. He lost every single snap for 2 straight quarters. I've never seen anything like it. It was crazy.
I mean, go ahead, Drew.
I was just going to give you some other names. Other than Donovan Smith and Bakhtiari, Charles Leno, Dwayne Brown, Riley Reiff.
All these are backup options.
Depth pieces.
Again, I'm not trying to start them over Wanye either. I'm in the same boat as you. But if you told me Charles Leno will take a backup deal to come on this team, to just stand behind Wanye Morris in case there's a problem and go work out with Andy Reid for 2 weeks
until he's in shape. Sign him and put him on the practice squad for a couple weeks.
Get him in shape and then go to it. fine.
Have to.
And then I'll just pray that Wanye stays healthy enough. And if he's not, then Tooney should start at left tackle until Leno can.
Yeah, because the problem with that, then you're weakening your entire left side. Because he's
I
not going to be as
like it was so bad, no choice.
I hear you. In game, I wouldn't have mind. I'm saying that's not a season solution.
No, no,
that's
no.
An in game and a pinch solution. Because then you're weakening your left guard spot, and you're obviously not going to be left tackle. Joe Tooney's not playing top 10 left tackle. I know he's playing top 10 left guard. But yes, it's the concern that you're going to be in an AFC title game, and Wanye Morris gets rolled up on, and he's out. It's an AFC title game, and you're up, you're down seven, and you need a drive with five to go, and Kingsley cannot be the guy to come in. He just can't. And this is not. I do think it's foolish to sit here and just automatically say he can never play left tackle in the league. I know it looks terrible right now, but you know what I do know? He can't play left tackle in 2024.
Somebody from the text line: Donovan Smith, Will Smith, or Arrow Smith. Right now, anybody is better.
I said Mike Caliendo would have been better at left tackle earlier in the show. Who's their backup guard?
Oh, Frank Caliendo might be too.
Look, and it's like it feels like bullying. Like I'm assuming part of this is a loss of confidence. I don't think that his skill set is so poor that he just can't block anyone in the NFL level. It just feels like he's guessing. Like, and we've all seen that out of a hitter or anything else or any other job. Like, he had no chance at success in that game.
Well, you're going to get your quarterback hurt. Case scenario, it's one thing to lose the game and not be able to get a pass off. The worry is you're going to get your quarterback knocked out. That will end your season. I think you can mask left tackle problems with Wanye or bring an event. The one thing we know that will prevent them from winning a Super Bowl and repeating is your quarterback getting hurt. And so that's the biggest reason why, more than anything else, if you're like, why do they need to go make it? Not just the eye test, go make a move. It's not just the eye test. If you're Brett Veach, it's like, I got to make sure my quarterback is not going to get destroyed out there.
There was one play I was worried about where he got beat. Mahomes was turned to throw to the right side. This is that play where they had the defensive holding call. He got blindsided. I thought he was going to have the whiplash and he got pancaked from behind. Kingsley just, it was amazing how he's, I know you mentioned the athleticism that he's got. He got beat. It was in a heartbeat. It wasn't even like he had a chance to even put hands on him. He got beat so bad he couldn't even get hands on him.
Yeah, they tried to chip, give him some help. Now, one of the plays, it sounds like Carson Steele messed up on the assignment to help, but still.
Like, he let him go because Steele was supposed to be there.
Correct. That one might not have actually been on Kingsley, but makes you appreciate Wanye Morris. Nobody's saying he's playing top 10 left tackle, but I think the gap is unbelievable. Unbelievable between those two. So we'll see what they do. I mean, this week, could they bring, can you at least bring somebody in for a workout? Let's see what,
like if a kicker had missed seven straight kicks, you'd at least bring someone in to like take a look.
I mean, unless Donovan Smith has just been sitting on his rear eating buckets of KFC chicken every Sunday, I'm pretty sure he's at least in shape after a couple weeks to get ready to roll.
But again, all you're asking him to do is be the backup.
That's it. Be a backup. I know you know the system. Get back in true football shape for a couple weeks. If Wanye's play were to really suffer, then you could even supplant him. But for now, I just need you as my security blanket. Donovan Smith, how would you like to make another $700,000 the rest of the year and get another ring? How about that? You want to make another $500,000 and come in the rest of the way?
And just lift some weights occasionally? Again, that will be an injury we have to watch real close this week. Is if how Wanye feeling, even though he feel like he's supposed to come back into that game.
Andy Reid's 25 minutes late. What are they signing a tackle right now? Are they watching Donovan Smith? What are we doing?
According to what we were told, it's a meeting. They're meeting about the
left tackle situation.
Brett Veach about available free agent left tackles. Got it.
Who knows?
All right, well, because of that, let's get a break in here. When we come back, hopefully Andy Reid is good to go. You hear his Monday press conferences exclusively on 96.5 The Fan. We'll also get to the random question of the day next here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. When Andy does speak, you'll hear him. We're not sure on the time now. It's about 30 minutes late, so we'll see.
Dude, I seriously think he might be signing a left tackle.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Please. Please do that.
I mean, there's more than enough justification in it.
So whenever he speaks, he'll speak. That'll be the last update I'll kind of give on it. Whenever we're told that he's ready to roll, we'll go out there. But in the meantime, we'll just move on and act as if it's not going to happen.
Real quick, before we hear from Andy Reid and talk some more Chiefs here in a minute, because I definitely want to talk about the defense. Real quick, Royals side note. They announced their game times today.
Okay.
For like the whole season and some of their promotions, right? Like, they're going to give away the like Pasquatch gold necklace that Vinny Pasquantino wears as like a giveaway.
Nice.
Very good giveaway. But they announced that they're going back to, once again, for every single weekday home game, the games will start at 6:40. That do anything for you? So a full half hour earlier, every single evening, weeknight game, all, not just, they usually do that during the school year, but in the summer, too, July, now. June, whatever, 6:40 start time. 30 minutes moved up earlier do anything for you?
So for me, no, because asking the wrong person, I don't have kids or anything. But I think it does do something for, and you guys tell me on the text line, tell us on the text line, 913-586-7965. I think it might for some that have kids. That, you know, they don't want to have them out till 9:45 or 10 o'clock at night. And remember, baseball games don't take as long as they did 5 years ago. That's the other good thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think for some it would. You know, the biggest impact on attendance next year is the fact that this team went to the playoffs. That automatically will increase your season ticket holder base, which should help with the crowds because it's so tough. Like, even when they were obviously in the mix for the second half of the season like they were this year, when your season ticket holder base was as low as it's been, like that's a lot of walk up. That's a lot of single game tickets you're having to sell to make up the gap. Well, if their season ticket holder base is higher, we're not talking about as many single game tickets it's going to take to get these crowds up next year and everything. But yeah, sure, why not? I mean, I think it's good. I think it's good if you have kids. For me, it's not going to probably change anything. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go. But I totally get it for a lot of people listening that have children.
Yeah, the first text from the 816, for everyone with kids, this rocks.
Yeah.
Based on the Royals' average length of game time, that would mean you would be getting out of the stadium. Like, you'd be walking out the stadium, game complete on average, 9:11. Like, 9:12. You'd be quarter after 9, you'd be done. And walking your car, getting your kids. That's not if you leave, you know, like if you got kids like mine, like you take a 6-year-old. Sometimes you're like, look, I know the reality here. We're leaving in the 6th or the 7th. We're trying. We're battling to get through this whole game. Not always a reality. So I might be leaving like 8:30.
Someone
says, getting out in no time.
Someone from the 816 says, damn, now I don't have an excuse to go without my kids.
Sorry, kids, it's past bedtime. Oh, I've used that any number of times. So we had a kid's birthday party from 7 to 9 p.m., my kids are usually asleep before 9, you know? And we saw it. Desmond, like, bumped his elbow, and it was meltdown at, like, 8:45. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, he ain't making it.
Just load him up, more Dippin' Dots. That always works, right?
I mean, it doesn't hurt. But, you know, I don't have the crowd seats for them, so I gotta, you know, I gotta pay for those Dippin' Dots. It's like $10, man. They don't want to share. They want their own, even though they've never seen my kids finish a Dippin' Dot in their life.
Really?
It's a mess. No, they never get through them, man.
Like
ever.
Three bites and they're done?
Yeah, they get through like, I don't know, because like by little kid bites, like 6-8-year-old bites, one bite, it might take 300 bites to get through a Dippin' Dot, like a regular size Dippin' Dot. Mm-hmm. I've never seen them get through one. I bought those kids Dippin' Dots 10 times each. I've never seen one of them finish
that
it.
Sounds like...
And they choose terrible flavors, so because I don't want the money to be wasted. I mean, this gross-ass cotton candy flavored Dippin' Dot. They couldn't even just get like cookies and cream so I could enjoy this, or it's half liquid. Because they ate it too slow. Miserable.
Yep, those are
I hate getting Dippin' Dots. Really?
I used to love Dippin' Dots, man. It's been the ice cream of the future for like 40 years, though. But
That's what you do as kids. Are like, Dad, please, please, I want a Dippin' Dots. And it's like, are you going to eat all of it? Yes, I promise. Didn't normally end up getting finished.
Never.
Yeah, someone says, as someone who drives up from Chanute, Kansas, out south, during the week to go to to games, that costs less. I hate the start time being earlier because it doesn't give me time to get to the game. So
the longer drive, I see it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But a half hour, I mean, that's enough wiggle room. I feel like if you're like, I don't want it to be way early. It's not that. It's not way earlier. If you get off,
you see a lot of this Dippin' Dots slander. Dippin' Dots slander on the text line. Dippin' Dots,
I agree,
sucks. Someone says Dippin' Dots are trash. Someone else says Dippin' Dots are overrated.
This is all
why the hate. Why the hate?
I think they're overrated, but they're still good.
The joke with Dippin' Dots is that, like you've said, you're the ice cream of the future for 30 years, and it's obviously not. But in general, I think the chocolate flavor is solid. I haven't had Dippin' Dots in a couple of years. Now you're making me want some Dippin' Dots, just so you know. Thank you very much.
Can you just get that at the grocery store?
Don't they more and more places? There's a knockoff brand of it, I think, at the store I've seen before. I don't know if it's actual Dippin' Dots. Usually Dippin' Dots is only available at like
amusement parks,
events or whatever it might be. Someone says this is the press conference content we're after.
Honestly, I wasn't even meant this to be a stall. I just saw that the Royals changed their game time, and I was curious what everyone thought. We can talk about the defense.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I don't think we want to lose sight that even though the Chiefs defense did give up, I don't know, 22 yards or whatever in the final drive to give them a chance for the game-winning field goal, they did not let up a single point in the second half against the Denver Broncos. And if they'd given up so much as 3 points in the second half against the Denver Broncos, they lose. Like, they didn't score a lot in the second half themselves. They scored 6 whole points in the second half in a game in which they kind of needed to give up zero. The defense came up big again. I know that in the final drive, they got themselves in field goal position. I put that more in the special teams than I put it on the defense. What more can you ask for them other than, I'd say, Trent McDuffie had a bad game?
Yeah, that was unusual performance from him. I'm sure he would be the first one to admit that wasn't his best game. Cortland Sutton got the better of him on that one particular touchdown. I'm not worried about Trent McDuffie by any means going forward. He's been a top three corner in football since he's really been in the league almost right away after missing a couple games his rookie season. He's been great. I think the feeling around the defense is just because on the last drive until the field goal block, the Broncos were able to move down the field. But let's also acknowledge they started at their own 40 because the mistake that Butker made on the kickoff.
Staying on second base to start the thing, essentially.
Early in the game, when Spags was dialing up blitzes, they got after Bo Nix, Nazi Johnson, who we haven't probably given enough love to today.
He played really
well. Was really good right off, fresh off the coming off the concussion list. He's back after missing a game or two. He was really solid. That actually long-term might be a better thing. Yeah, McDuffie, I'm not worried about where he's at, but Nazi Johnson coming back after seeing what the drop-off was after Nazi Johnson, to have him back in the fold was actually really impressive. And you can say, what's the wide receiver core look like that he was matched up with? But this week when they play Buffalo, Nazi Johnson, all of a sudden, let's say it's Nazi Johnson on, I don't know if Keon Coleman's going to play, but let's just call it Keon Coleman. I feel better about that matchup than I would have before. It allows perhaps Amari Cooper to be with Trent McDuffie. I think I still like that matchup if I'm Kansas City.
Same. And I think it just gives him a chance to take advantage of it. When I look back through, the biggest part of the defense in the second half is, I thought in the first half, this is what Spag does a lot of. And this is what I think we make mistakes of when you're ready to bury the Chiefs defense in the first half because you're like, they're getting picked apart. They could do whatever they want against this defense. It's all coming up bad now. Spags laid back. Spags found out whether or not they could just send four guys. If they could get pressure with just Chris Jones, they couldn't. The offensive line did a really nice job. And then what did he do in the second half? Goal? He ratcheted it up. He started sending blitzers from everywhere and took advantage.
All right, Andy Reid's press conference on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Arvest Bank, making banking easier for customers for more than 60 years. Arvest Bank, proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom.
All right, so I really don't have any injuries for you. I think we came out of the game halfway decent, but I'll get – the guys are just kind of coming in, so we'll get all that taken care of here later in the afternoon. As far as the game goes – listen, the win was fantastic to get. We've got places that we've got to work on and make sure we get covered. The positive was that they didn't score in the second half, and we for the most part hunkered down defensively, and then offensively we've got to clean up a few things. We didn't score as often in the red zone as we wanted to. Penalties, a missed shot there, so. Things that, a couple of those things don't happen very often that happen down in there. And we're normally accurate with the throws and so on. So we've got to clean a little bit of that up. And but again, playing a good football team, they've got both of their fronts are strong, and we were tested in a couple spots, and it'll help us grow is what it'll help us do. And, so in particular at that tackle position, we were young at the left tackle spot. We'll keep getting better as we go and experience some of these things. I think Wanye will end up being okay when it's all said and done here, as far as his leg goes. And then he was able to come back in and play. And Kingsley will learn from what he had there and keep getting better. And then likewise on the right side, we'll keep growing there. So, and then from a defensive standpoint, they've got a good offensive line. They're physical, their run game. They got that going a little bit, and teams hadn't been able to do that quite as well as what they had rolling there early. So, we can learn from that and get better in that spot too. So, again, I'm glad we came out with the win, I thought it was a heck of a play there at the end. You know, we overloaded one side. It probably wouldn't have mattered who they had in there blocking, but we were able to get that overload, and we got off on the ball. I mean, if you wanted to pick on one thing there to say was a great job, Justin Reed on the outside is the fastest guy in the NFL on his get off on these field goals. And so teams take and look at that and make sure they take care of him first, which allowed the inside three there to really come off and get an explosive. And you saw Nadi kind of went down, and they weren't quite sure how to handle that. So there ended up being a separation, and we were able to get through the cracks there. And, you know, that was a spectacular way to end it. I'm not sure I've ever had that experience in my career with a walk-off blocked field goal. So it made it exciting. But I'd rather us really focus in on taking care of business in the other part of the game and get that cinched up. But my hat goes off to Tobe for spending the time to make sure those things all fit together, and for the players just executing and never giving up. Like I told you last night or yesterday afternoon, that the thing that has impressed me with this team is they don't get down, and they're not that. That's not what they are. They battle through stuff, and if somebody's not doing well, they try to pick them up and do well in their area. And you know, it's worked to this point. We just got to keep getting better and growing as we go. So with that, time's yours.
We'll go first, Pete Sweeney. Pete.
Hey, Coach. I know you're not a big social media man, but there was an interaction between two of your former linemen, Jeff Allen and Donovan Smith, just kind of hinting at Smith's availability. From a depth perspective, has there ever been a consideration to maybe just bring in Smith or another vet as these two young linemen develop there at left?
Listen, that's a Veach's area. I mean, he looks at everything, so I'm not going to say no. But what we do as coaches, and we overemphasize, we're going to focus in on these kids that are here, and they're getting better. I know it's hard to see at times, but there's progress being made, and we're going to be okay as we go forward. So
we'll go next to Todd Lebo. Todd.
Coach, kind of on that front, I'll have a follow-up too, if I can. With Kingsley, with a young player like that, how much like mental coaching up has to happen? I know there's maybe not a lot of time to do that during a game, but how important is that side of it as well to make sure his confidence is up?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's all part of it. That's all part of coaching. You know, I'd probably say it's the same way in your business. If you're not confident, you're probably not going to talk very well.
You're muted there, Todd.
On the block field goal again, with the work that you guys put into it and all the work that Dave does with this, how much support like comes from the top down to you to make that a really important part of what you guys do all the time? And you know, I know everyone works on things, but it seems like there's a really special emphasis on all the little things with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the details of it become important. The players want that. They want you to detail it up for them. It helps them even more be able to show what their talents are. And then as a result of that, hopefully you win a game or two. So, I mean, so Dave spends a lot of time on that right there. You guys watch all that. So you know that there's an emphasis put on special teams and the details of it. So we needed it. So yesterday, that was a big play for us.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt.
Hey, Coach, a couple of questions for you. But first one, the first time around, Kareem was an important part of your passing game. And yesterday was really the first time that he got actively involved. Is there a focus going forward on trying to incorporate him more into the passing game and getting him some opportunities, kind of maybe take the load off a little bit in the backfield and just mix things up?
Yeah, well, we think touches for him end up being important, whether he's carrying it or he's a good football player. So, you know, you want to have him have an opportunity to you know, show off those talents. And he's always been a good receiver. We weren't getting as much out of the run game as we wanted to. And so we started throwing it a little bit more, and he became an important part of that.
And, you know, certainly Monday night against the Bucs was a very physical game. And I know you had kind of a lighter practice week, especially Thursday, and kind of managing that. Now another pretty physical game. How do you, you know, really, really try to manage the workload? And do you kind of anticipate maybe the same thing this week to try and just get as much rest and recuperation for these guys?
Yeah, it's not it's not as much the maybe the physical part as it is the time in between games. So that's what you're managing. And that then it comes down to how the guys are feeling. So because of the short week. So that's the way we did it last week. This is a normal week. So, you know, it's not going to be quite like that. It'll be a normal week of practice. But, you know, Matt, in this league, every game is physical. I mean, the parity in this league is crazy right now. You just check out some of these scores and you go, damn, it's nuts. So there's any given Sunday. Well, I mean, it's no more important than that is right now in this league. You better be on your A game every week.
We have three more for you, Coach. We'll go first to Adam Teicher.
Hey, Andy. I was wondering about three guys in particular, Pacheco, Juju, and Omenihu. Any chance any or all of those guys come back to practice this week? And Kelsey, I'll have a second question as well.
Excuse me. I think they're all close. I would probably tell you Juju closer than the other two, but I would tell you that, we might have them out there. We'll just see how it goes here today and tomorrow. They're very close, all three of them.
Okay. And, normally when you think of a team that's undefeated at this point of the season, you think of a team that's, you know, strong on one side of the ball or the other or both, or there's been maybe a few blowouts along the way. I don't know that your team really fits into that category, yet here you are 9-0. How do you explain how you've been able to get to this point here?
Yeah, well, yesterday, I mean, that was probably the epitome of it. I'm coming down to that last second deal, so literally. Block, but we've been given opportunities and we've taken advantage of them, and then we've made a few opportunities ourselves. So with some good plays, and you probably say that they outplayed us yesterday, and then they end up not winning the game. So but you see that throughout the league. I mean, you just saw the Lions game last night. Five turnovers, five interceptions, or whatever it was, and they find a way to win the game. So, guys, you give credit to your locker room and your coaches, and just for being mentally tough and sticking with it.
We'll go next to Nick Jacobs. Nick?
Yeah, Andy, one question for you. With Patrick and Xavier on the deep passes, is it just a matter of them getting enough reps over time in game situations, or what is it to where they'll be able to get that connection down the road when it's needed most?
Yeah, they've had a couple of them. We just got to keep a little bit more consistent. So Nick, they'll keep working on it. They spend time working on it, and we'll just keep it going. And you know, those things, they'll come eventually here as we go with a little bit more consistency.
Our last one here, we'll go to Sam McDowell. Sam?
Hey, Andy. Just wanted to ask you about the fourth down in the first half and also maybe at the end of the game. Can you kind of go into the thinking on both of those?
Yeah. We had the fourth down on the dive play. I thought it was important that we went for that. And then we had the fourth down the goal line. in the red zone there. And we wanted to come out with a score. I mean, that's what I wanted to do, make sure. And we had good stuff left over. It wasn't like the package there was empty. So we had some good things we could draw from.
Coach, we'll let you get back to it. We appreciate it.
All right, so that was Andy Reid here on 96.5 The Fan, sponsored by Arvest Bank. We are proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom. Couple things on the front there, injury-wise. Mentioned that Juju Smith-Schuster is closer than Pacheco and a Minshew in terms of, and maybe even Turk Warden for that matter, of coming back in the mix. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but as I was listening to that, I'm like, you know what? I'll be honest. As far as Pacheco and a Minshew, I'd rather them come back if they got to play the Bills in the playoffs. Like,
you don't need them back this week.
I don't want,
like they were coming back this week.
No, but I don't want the Bills facing the Chiefs at quote unquote full strength this weekend. No.
Interesting.
No.
The only argument I would have against that is win this game and you're the one seed.
I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like,
but if you play the Bills,
not 100%, but like damn near.
But if I play the Bills in the AFC title game, I want them to. How are they going to utilize Kareem Hunt and Pacheco at the same time? How are they going to utilize Minshew on this defensive line? That's what I mean.
Playing the long game a little bit, but I would take the trade off, thinking that at full strength, you're getting Buffalo for it to be the one seed, and you'll figure out some other way to trick him. He described it pretty much this way: Juju Smith-Schuster is the closest. And they didn't put him on the IR. This would be week four. Mm-hmm. If he can't return by this week, they made a mistake. They should have put him on the injured reserve list so they could have had some other guy working up.
They won games while I was gone. I don't know if it really is a mistake.
It's a small thing, but like you should have just put him on IR and moved on. Second, it sounds like, is Pacheco, which I would have thought maybe it was the reverse. And then a Minshew will be the third most likely guy to come back, at least according to Andy Reid there. I will say, when he said, we got asked about backup left tackle.
Yeah.
From our friend Pete. When he got asked about it, he's like, hey, so like, you know, Donovan Smith's joking about it on, you know, Twitter. And he was like, well, that Brent Veach's department. It's not like I would say no. What was that? Rewind there real quick. What'd you say about that?
Yeah. He said, quote,
I would not say no.
Quote, that's Brent Veach's area, but I'm not going to say no to Donovan, you know, basically questioning about Donovan Smith's availability. The young guys are learning and getting better. Yeah, no need to slam the door on that, and he certainly did not. I mean,
that's what the meeting was about.
That's
why he was late.
Might be. They also have a ton of meetings, but in all seriousness, either way, they should be talking, and I think they clearly have at some point in time, about what they need to do, because Wanya Morris can be your starter, but you cannot have Kingsley as your backup in 2024. You got to have a better option. So yeah, Donovan Smith is the one that makes the most sense. You already know it works, and he's already familiar with how Mahomes likes his left tackles to play. All of that is true. So we'll see. I mean, I think you're playing with fire now if you don't have a different individual backing up Wanya, given what we have seen Kingsley is at this point as an NFL player.
I think it would be, we talked about this with wide receiver. This is in the same vein as me as DeAndre Hopkins. Continuing the rest of the season without a backup left tackle that is not Kingsley Suamataia is malpractice. The same as I had said, if you continue this season without adding another wide receiver, then you are asking to fail. Now, the only difference is starter versus backup, which means there's still a world in which Wanya Morris does not miss another single snap for the rest of the season. I would say that is a very optimistic world, and maybe a little too pie in the sky for a team to operate under. Anybody every once in a while, I think this is a criticized statement as in, I don't mean it. I mean it. Any former player who has played at least 30 games at left tackle is welcome to be the backup the rest of the year. Leno, Donovan Smith, Bakhtiar, I don't care. You know,
gotta have somebody with experience.
I have a preference. Yeah. I have a preference of which ones I would rather have here. Any experienced left tackle should get signed to the practice squad today to be the safety net for Wanya Morris.
Right. Yeah, and you can have a conversation in the offseason about what the hell do you do at left tackle long term. That's an offseason conversation. Clearly, you either have remarkable developmental improvement or you're going to have to make a veteran trade in the offseason like they did with Orlando Brown a couple years ago, or you're going to have to trade up in the draft because they don't have a long-term answer at left tackle currently. Kingsley, it's not like his career is over. That'd be ridiculous to say after halfway through his rookie year. But the short-term answer is clear. He is not a left tackle at the NFL level in 2024. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he can't be that at some point
in his
career.
Yeah.
But right now he's just simply not, which means makes it, I should say, just that much more remarkable. How the hell did he win the job out of camp? He was the starting left tackle week one of the season. What?
Sometimes like football just doesn't make sense. Because I'm with you. Be like, wait, how?
Yeah. Up next, we'll get to the audio fun bag from the weekend. There's a lot to address there, football-wise, including right here in Kansas City. Plus, talk a little bit more about Patrick Mahomes' performance yesterday. I think people are missing out on one particular area. We'll get to that next.